It was a rough winter, with furnaces running overtime to keep homes and businesses warm. But for customers with variable rate contracts, bills were especially steep, leaving some to wonder if the unusually cold weather was the only factor behind the price increases. Some customers expressed suspicions about price gouging. According to the Maryland Public Service Commission, hundreds of complaints have poured in from customers who say energy companies provided false and misleading information about how their rates could change. State regulators have launched an investigation into the practices of five suppliers in the wake of the winter rate spikes. Paula Carmody, the Maryland People's Council, our representative before the Public Service Commission, joins us on Midday after the news. And welcome back to Midday, our second hour. Dan Roderick's here. The long, frigid winter resulted in unusually high utility bills for Marylanders. The average temperature at BWI International Airport, Thurgood Marshall Airport, in January was about 8 degrees colder than the average temperature for the same time last year. And in some parts of Maryland, the temperature drop was even more significant and prolonged. But for customers with variable rate contracts, bills were especially steep, leaving some to wonder if the unusually cold weather was the only factor behind their price increases. Some customers even expressed concerns about possible price gouging. State regulators have launched an investigation into the practices of five or six energy suppliers in the wake of the winter rate spikes. According to the Maryland Public Service Commission, hundreds of complaints have poured in from customers who say their suppliers provided either false or misleading information about how their rates could change and how they might cancel their policies. So today on the show, we'll be looking at gas and electric bills and pricing and what you as consumers should know when it comes to your rights, especially as it applies to these variable rates. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here to call in and ask questions of our guest, Paula Carmody. Paula is back with us. Paula Carmody is the head of the state's Office of People's Council. She is the Maryland People's Council. She's the citizen's representative before the Maryland Public Service Commission, and we like to get her on the show now and then just so you know that she exists and that's her job, and she's there to serve us as People's Council here in Maryland. Nice to have you back on the show, Paula.
Oh, thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
I guess the question I start with is, this was a long, grueling winter. It was very cold, put a lot of pressure on our furnaces, both at home and in our businesses, to keep buildings warm. So how do we know what's going on? Is it because it was a prolonged and very cold winter with polar vortex and all that? Or is it because of variable rates in the billing for some people? For instance, someone who doesn't have a variable rate might just have extraordinary bills this March and April because it was just a long, cold winter. So help us out understand that.
Right. That's true. I mean, I think bottom line, as you say, it was extreme cold. It was sustained cold. I mean, it was just day after day after day. It was brutal for a lot of folks. So everybody's bills likely went up, whether it was gas or electricity, simply because of the heat and the usage. Mm-hmm. So it was a particular problem in terms of usage. If you have heat pumps, they do not work well below 40 degrees, and especially below 30 degrees, or if you've got inefficient boilers, furnaces, et cetera. So everybody got hit. There's a certain group of customers, it was a double whammy. And those are the customers who signed up with an alternative energy supplier, had contracts that they might have had a teaser rate, and then it changed over to what's called a variable price, or it was always a variable price. And I'll describe that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But with those contracts, and if a variable price was being applied, say, in January, February of this year, we are seeing contracts that instead of, say, less than 10 cents a kilowatt hour, the kilowatt hour is a unit of usage, they were up in the high 20s. We have seen them go up to 48 cents a kilowatt hour. So think
from,
about
from
it.
From less than?
Less than 10 cents.
From less than 10 cents. So four times higher in some cases.
In some cases. At least two times higher, up to four times higher. And if you think about your utility bill, two-thirds of your utility bill is related to your usage, the supply that you get, electricity supply. So a big part of your bill could have gone way up 2 to 4 times if you had a variable price contract and that was what they were charging you. So the Public Service Commission, our office, and frankly, customers in other states. We are seeing it throughout the Mid-Atlantic and the New England area. Those customers are getting hit. We've seen bills $1,200 for 1 month, $1,400, $1,800 for 1 month of usage. These are just unbelievable.
Jamie Smith Hopkins, my colleague at the Baltimore Sun, had a story about this a couple of weeks ago. She's noting that Pennsylvania's attorney general launched a review to determine whether some of the volatility in the market, like bill increases of 300% for some people, is a result of price gouging. We'll get to that, back to that in a moment. I want to understand the variable rate contracts. First of all, if you're a BGE customer, have been a steady BGE customer, is this even offered by that utility?
No. If you are buying your electricity supply from BGE, you know, you just kind of stayed with them. What the process is that twice a year, BGE and the other utilities solicit bids. This is under the authority of the Public Service Commission. So twice a year, they go out and solicit bids for 2-year contracts. And they're considered rolling contract. Yep. And so typically what happens is they end up entering into contracts with several suppliers. They have to be approved through the Public Service Commission. And there are two things that are important to note about this price that comes out of this. The statute in Maryland requires kind of best price or least cost price, but subject to maintaining price stability. So right in the law for these utilities, they have to build stability into the price. And what you see in the current prices reflects that. BGE's current price, say for January, February through May of this year, 9.6 cents a kilowatt hour. So you compare that to a variable price contract at, say, 28 cents, 35 cents, 48 cents. It's a huge difference when you're talking about your usage going way up and then, you know, a real increase in the unit price.
Well, that would be the case with some other company, an alternative supplier.
Yes.
Right? Okay. With BGE, it would be largely from your usage, right?
If you
saw an extraordinary bill in April, say, left over from March or February.
It's usage.
Okay. So when we get to these other companies, and today's story in The Sun, Public Service Commission is saying that it's received hundreds of complaints about false and misleading information. They're launching an investigation into rate increases by some energy suppliers. I said there's 5 or 6. There's 5 that are named in The Sun today that have received some sort of a notification from the PSC that it's looking into their practices. American Power Partners, Blue Pilot Energy, Major Energy, Maryland Gas and Electric, and a company called, is it Xoom Energy? It's XOOM Energy, Xoom
yes.
Energy. Okay, I'm not familiar with any of those, but are those companies that offer variable rates?
Right, and these are some of the companies that the commission says they've received a large volume of complaints. Our office separately has issued requests for information and data about pricing to all of the companies that we know of that have offered variable price contracts. And they include these companies. There are other companies out there. We want to take a look at exactly what was going on with the pricing with those companies as well.
All right. Can we talk about how that works? Because this is an interesting area here to explore a little bit. And I know these alternative energy companies have been around for a while, and they send solicitations to your house. Sometimes they call you on the phone. You get a letter in the mail. Offering a better price to step in with, right? That's usually what they do.
Well, that's typically how they kind of get their foot in the door, so to speak. Most of these companies, right, they use direct mail, door-to-door marketing, or phone solicitation. These are the typical methods to reach customers. The marketing and contract terms are subject to all of our consumer protection laws and also specific requirements that the commission has. The problem around variable price contracts has to do with, you know, frankly, what they're saying to people in their pitch, what is written down in the contract, and what, frankly, people understand when they see the word variable price or variable rate in the contract. Frequently, customers are basically given a pitch. They might be given a teaser rate. I think people are familiar with, like, with adjustable rates. You get a teaser rate, and then somewhere a few months later, it adjusts.
Okay, so that's when things get tricky, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you know? I mean, I guess someone who's really scrupulous will look at a contract from a company like this and see, aha, there could be a balloon payment due in March or April. I mean, is it timed out that way? How do you know when the variable rate is going to vary?
Well, the contract may say, as an example, we're going to charge you 7.99 cents a kilowatt hour for 3 months or 6 months, and then it will change to a variable rate. That's a typical term that we've seen in a contract. So you could kind of watch it, but then 3 or 6 months later, you're going to get a bill and it's going to have a new price on it. You're not going to know really what that rate change was or why it changed or what the basis for the change was. What we have found is that the terms are general. There's no indexing. There's no kind of benchmark. It just says variable rate. We can change it at our discretion. We did have a case last year involving a company, Sterion Energy. It was under investigation in front of the commission. We did get an order a couple of weeks ago. Now, this goes back not to this winter, but last winter. Variable price contracts. And at that time, what we were seeing is that the prices increased to the 20s or to the upper teens. It seemed
per kilowatt hour.
Correct. Say 18 cents a kilowatt hour. It seemed very high at the time. Not so much now. And when we conducted an investigation, it's like, why did this happen? What drove that increase? What we found out is that they operate up in New England in a different wholesale market. Last winter in 2012-2013, gas prices spiked in New England, not the Mid-Atlantic.
Not in the Mid-Atlantic.
And so they didn't hedge, which is an important thing. They were exposed in the wholesale markets. They were just paying, high premiums for supply. So then they thought, well, why should our customers in New England have to pay all of this? We're going to kind of share the pain with customers in Maryland and elsewhere. We did challenge this. We asked the commission to find that this was a deceptive practice and order refunds. While the commission did order a penalty and found them in violation of a number of other laws, they indicated that they had no jurisdiction to regulate rates. We are currently looking at appealing that particular decision. But that just shows you how tricky it is. How on earth would anybody know that their price was going to be based on conditions, for example, in New England?
Okay, here's another problem as I see it then. It's becoming clearer to me here. If you have a variable rate contract and you're in an extraordinary winter like the one we just had, your bill shows up in March or April and it looks high to you, and you might say, well, that's just because we had an extraordinary winter. My furnace ran more. It was on running all the time. So that must be the reason. You might not even be cognizant of the fact that your rate spiked. Is that possible?
That is possible, but let me tell you, the number of complaints coming in, I think the commission is reporting close to 1,000 complaints over the last couple of months. Pennsylvania, 12,000 complaints came in. This is unprecedented, and this has to do with these variable price contracts. The reason those complaints are coming in is people are seeing bills $800, $1,000, $1,400. If you get a bill like that, people will be very upset,
and yes,
say the least. They will maybe look at the bill. A few things. What do you do?
Well, let's do that after the break.
Sure.
So this is where we take our first break in this second hour of Midday Today. Paula Carmody, Maryland People's Council, is our guest in this hour. So listen, if you've taken up on one of these alternative energy companies and had a variable rate contract with them, and you're experiencing something like Paula is talking about today, if you've called the PSC already to complain, we'd like to hear from you. Tell us about your experience and what the rates looked like over the course of the last few months. 410-662-8780, or write us a short summary of your issues, midday@wypr.org. We'll be right back. Well, Welcome back to Midday, talking about our winter energy bills and this news story today that Maryland regulators have launched an investigation into the practices of several energy suppliers in the wake of winter rate spikes that drew howls from hundreds of complaining consumers here in Maryland, many more up in Pennsylvania, according to our guest in this hour of the show, Paula Carmody, Maryland People's Council, 410-662-8780. If you have a question or comment for your representative before the Maryland Public Service Commission. Paula, let's take a call. This is Andy in Churchville. Andy, you're on Midday. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I received my bills for January, and I was with Blue Pilot Energy, and the current rates prior to January were around, I would say around 10.9 cents per kilowatt hour.
Mm-hmm.
Received my bill for January, 3,500 kilowatt hours, and it was $18.79.
Okay.
At 46.9 cents a kilowatt hour.
Wow.
So I filed my complaint with the Public Service Commission. Last week, I actually received the decision that basically there's nothing you can do. So my question is, you know, the best analogy I can give you is you order a crab cake at market value. They tell you it's 10 cent or $10. And when they give you your bill, they say, while you were chewing your last bite, it's $100 now.
Yeah. Andy, was this,
no restriction for these companies to say, okay, $10 a kilowatt hour, we're going to send it out. Even though they're going to lose all their customers are still obligated to pay that outrageous bill.
Andy, I want to just ask you, is this for your home or for your business?
This is for my home. Now, I understand it was a colder winter. Now, I compared my kilowatt hours from last year to this year within 100 kilowatt hours. So my furnace was not working harder. I have a brand new heat pump that was installed less than a year ago. So it's a high efficiency heat pump. I keep my heat settings on 62 degrees and $1,800 a month.
Okay, I just want to examine something with you, Andy, before we let you go, because I'd like to get a little more information from you. What made you decide to go with Blue Pilot? Had you previously been with BGE?
I was actually with Direct Energy prior to. They had a 2-year contract, and the contract was expiring. And I went with Blue Pilot. They had also the teaser rate, and then it went into a, after the 60 days or 90 days, it went into a variable rate, which the variable rate was very competitive with BGE and all the other ones, and I never changed. And then come January, get gouged.
So, Andy, he did what he was supposed to do, what a citizen is supposed to do, is concerned about that. He went to the Public Service Commission. It sounds like he was told that he didn't have any recourse.
Well, I guess that question will have to go to the Public Service Commission. I would mention two things. One is that Blue Pilot is one of the companies that you mentioned that actually are under investigation for deceptive practices. But number two, this question about deceptive practices around how do you calculate this variable rate was a very, very issue that we had raised in the Starion Energy case. We said it was deceptive what this company did a year ago. They said the price would change based on market conditions. They actually even had that language in there. The commission said they could not regulate price and did not address that issue. We are going to be taking further action with regard to that part of their decision. But this is the very issue when we're looking at terms. Some of these contracts just say variable price, we can change it, whatever. Some of them say based on market conditions, but we didn't get a very good decision on that from the commission when we challenged it with Starion Energy. Some of them have very specific language. We've seen one or two contracts that say it will change based on an indexing, you know, changes in the wholesale market. That's probably the most specific. I don't know what to tell Andy if he has received a decision. If it's an initial decision, he does have the right to take it up further. There are two or three levels of appeal, and he may want to continue pursuing that with the Public Service Commission.
Well, let me, I want to ask you about your office, the People's Council. Would you help Andy or just advise him? You wouldn't represent him, but you would advise him?
Right. We do not represent individual customers. Right. We are looking at kind of the big picture issues with regard to this. It's a very serious issue, you know, for our agency. In this instance, he can take it individually up through the Public Service Commission, and I would suggest that he take it, keep taking it further.
Because they've sent a letter to Blue Pilot, your supplier, so you might want to push it a little bit.
If that's where it is, if they just sent a letter, then the process is still in play.
All right, Paul, I have a couple of questions for you here. First of all, does the Public Service Commission set a ceiling of some kind for the rates on companies that want to operate in Maryland, sell energy in Maryland?
No. I mean, the thing is, in general, because these are competitive companies, the commission does not set a price, and they do not regulate.
Not even a ceiling.
They do not regulate the rate in any fashion. Hmm. But the caveat is that these companies are subject to all of our consumer protection laws, which prohibit unfair and deceptive practices. The commission itself, its own law, its own regulations prohibit unfair and deceptive practices in contracting and marketing, et cetera. So when you take a look at that standard, and you're, one of the things that will be under, you know, kind of investigation and scrutiny is, you know, what is going on? For example, with these 40-plus cent contracts, from talking to our experts, even with all the craziness going on in the wholesale markets in our PJM area, which is the Mid-Atlantic area, those prices we figure should be in the high 20s at most for January.
Per kilowatt hour.
Yeah, we can't figure out how they jumped up to these high 40.
So that's where that phrase price gouging comes in, maybe, a suspicion of.
Right. And you mentioned Pennsylvania Attorney General, I believe in Michigan as well. The Attorney General may also be looking into that. So a couple of states are examining it under the price gouging laws. We don't have any we don't work in that particular arena.
Here's another question. You know, you go to get a mortgage, adjustable rate mortgage, right? And you, but you know what the top rate's going to be usually, right? Don't you? I mean, it's when you sign that mortgage, you know that there could be, it could go from 4.5% to 5.5% by a certain date, I think anyway. So that doesn't sound like the way these contracts are set up.
No.
For energy.
And actually, it is one reason. We've a couple of things I would like to point out. We have posted new and revised fact sheets on our website having to do with supplier contracts, methods of contracting, contract terms, but very specifically variable price contracts. And I have to tell you, I have changed. We have been pretty neutral in providing education and information about supplier activity. I have change that as a result of what's been going on with these variable price contracts. We are calling them out as very high risk arrangements, and we are trying to warn people that they need to be very careful and make sure that they are in a situation where they can handle unknown volatility in a bill from month to month before they enter into these contracts. We just do not have a framework in which to handle these kinds of wide pricing schemes.
Let's take another question for Paula Carmody, Maryland's People's Council, 410-662-8780. This is George in Annapolis. Hi, George.
Hi. Say, I have what I think is an obvious question is, since there's obviously, if not abuse, it's certainly a serious inconvenience with the consumers. Why doesn't the commission and or the legislature require that there be a 30-day out or a maximum change from month to month? And if they were to do that, then presumably the price that these suppliers charge might go up because there's sort of, you know, they might lose some flexibility that otherwise have, but that would protect the citizens from getting screwed the way they have been.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, would like to let folks know that a bill has passed through both the House and the Senate that will require the Public Service Commission to submit a report to the General Assembly at the end of this year on whether the current consumer protection rules adequately protect consumers. So clearly within that framework, this issue is going to be very high on the list.
What kind of notice you need to give to customers, for instance? That's George's issue. He says, you know,
Disclosures, notice. But also what he is suggesting is putting some parameters or kind of constraints around the pricing or how far it can go up. It never goes down.
All right, I
think those will be – they're being looked at in other states. They will be looked at here in Maryland, I can guarantee you, because we will bring it up.
Let's go back to the beginning here, how somebody gets into a variable rate contract, okay? I mean, because it looks very appealing in the advertising, right?
Sure.
I mean, someone takes it and says, oh, for the next 3 months, I'm going to pay a very low rate. Linda in Stewartstown, Pennsylvania, she says she just received a postcard in the mail today that says that First Energy in Pennsylvania is going to charge us $5 to $15 in May, June, or July. $5 to $15. I don't know for what exactly that means. But anyway, there's some sort of a pitch that she received in the mail that makes it sound like really cheap energy, right? So I presume that's why people get into these things.
Sure. I mean, we get these kind of pitches for all sorts of products and services, and now they'd use the same tools and techniques, you know, for gas and electricity. But again, and that's why people do get drawn into it. We understand. I mean, they're very clever. They work. That's why they keep doing it. But when you think about it, the teaser rate, for example, when you go back to that 9.6 cents, you know, we have seen teaser rates say at 7.9 cents, 8 point something cents. You're talking a penny or two a kilowatt hour as the teaser rate. And then you're talking about changing it to a rate that you don't know what that rate will be.
Excuse me, you're saying your savings is about a penny or so.
Well, if you look at the difference per unit.
Per unit. Say the difference between BGE. We'll use BGE to compare.
Right.
You're saying you're not saving really that much at the beginning, and you're taking the risk of a much higher rate later.
Right, and at a rate that you don't know how far it will go up. I have to tell you, we have not seen any rates go down from the teaser rates. They always tend to go up. And as we've seen, they've gone up 2 to 4 times, you know, what you would expect. So, you know, when people are looking at that, what they're getting from the initial rate is a little bit of savings, and they're getting a very high risk on the other end. And that's why we're trying to get the warning out to people. You need to be very clear that you're going to be willing to take that downside.
Yeah.
The downside that we see on these contracts wipes out any savings that you might have gotten in a couple of days, you know, certainly from the teaser rates.
You're calling them out. You're saying
these
are high risk. You're saying, well, you're warning people. You're not saying don't do it. You're just saying this is high risk.
I think there are very few people when you're looking at cold weather, winter weather, having to rely on electricity, you know, for heating purposes, or the same thing in the summertime with the air conditioning. Most people have budgets. Most people have expectations about how much money they have and how much they have to put to their rent or mortgage, to their utility bill, to their cable bill. It is very difficult to go from, say, $400 to $1,000 and have that repeated in a second month. The other thing to keep in mind is these are utility services. They are regulated. You are subject to service termination if this supplier bill is not paid. The winter restrictions were finished as of March 31. So this is really important for people to understand. We can talk about some of the steps that the utilities have offered, you know, to kind of assist customers over the next few months.
We can do that after the break. One question. Do you have any sense of how many customers there are in Maryland who are not in Central Maryland, for instance, who are not BGE customers, who have gone over to one of these other companies that I mentioned, these alternative energy companies?
Sure. This information actually is on the commission website. You can check. In BGE's territory, about 30% of its customers are using alternative suppliers. So, it's about 1.1 million customers, almost a third of that.
That's a lot. How many folks would have variable rate contracts? You don't know that.
We do not know because that's competitive, proprietary information. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many are on fixed contracts. We don't know how many are on variable price contracts. We all have to depend on complaints coming into either our office or the Public Service Commission.
And that gets me back to the long winter and people looking at bills. If you buy energy from American Power Partners, Blue Pilot, Major Energy, Maryland Gas and Electric, or Exum Energy, you may not. You might want to take another look at your bill, right? You might want to look there and say, "Well, this isn't just because it was a long, cold winter; it's because my rate went up."
And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So even though there have been a lot of complaints, there still might be more.
Yes.
Yeah. So he will take another break. We'll come back and talk some more with Paula Carmody about this. Please tell us about your experience. If you've chosen an alternative energy supplier, if you have any questions for Paula Carmody, Maryland People's Council, the head of the Office of People's Council, 410-662-8780. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. Welcome back, 410-662-8780. Dan Rodrigues here in Studio A with Paula Carmody, the citizens of Maryland, represented by Paula at the Maryland Public Service Commission. She is the Maryland People's Council. Mary Ellen Vani is Executive Director of the Fuel Fund and giving us a call now to join this conversation. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. What did you want to add to our conversation?
Well, I really appreciate what Paula does and the information she puts on her website. It's really excellent. Everybody should look at it. But we help poor families pay their heating and utility bills, and even before the price gouging, they couldn't afford them. I know that the individuals are still responsible for the bill, so the Fuel Fund will continue to help them. But what should we do that would be helpful to, what information should we get from these individuals? Should we be advising them to call Public Service Commission because we've identified that this was one of those variable rate schemes? What would be helpful for us to do?
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi,
it's good to hear from you. I think it actually is very important for the Public Service Commission to hear from consumers out there, low-income households that you serve, but and also, basically everyone, so that the commission has a clear understanding about the extent of the problem and, what suppliers are involved. So that is something that perhaps you can encourage them to do. I mean, one thing with your staff when you're taking a look at the bills, you can probably at least figure out whether the supplier increase in price is a factor in those high bills, and then encourage people to pass that information on. As the director of the Fuel Fund, if this is a pattern that you're seeing, it is also something that you could certainly write a letter to the Public Service Commission and say, look, this is what we're seeing with our low-income households, as a pattern. As you said, it may not change in specific cases the price that they have to pay, but that information is important. When you're talking about prices that are going into the 20s, 30s, particularly the 40s, these customers also can be encouraged to file a complaint with the commission and indicate that they feel that this is either a deceptive or unfair practice with regard to the price.
Let's take another call. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Julia in Baltimore, you're on Midday. Hi.
Hi.
Go right
this is a really good subject that gets me irritated. I had two people come to me and pitch from Constellation Energy to pitch lower prices. And I asked them, I said, aren't you the parent company of PGE? Yeah, but we don't have anything to do with them. And I'm like, well, why are you in direct competition with one of your companies? Couldn't get an answer on that. And the guy kept on and on how he changed his electric, blah, blah, so forth and so on. Get a variable rate. You have to sign up for, I can't remember whether it was 1 year or 2 years. And I said, and what if I don't want to be with this in this contract anymore? Well, it'll cost you $325 to get out.
Oh, I was going to ask Paula about that, Julia. I thank you for calling. One of the things I read is that people have a hard time canceling. You get into a contract with a company with a variable rate, and you're unhappy with what your bills are looking like in February, March, and April, or whatever time of year it is. It's hard to get out of these, hard to cancel them.
Right, and there are a few things. Now, if I could just run through a couple of things. With regard to Constellation Energy, it is an affiliate of BG&E. It's a separate company. They are a licensed energy supplier, and so they, like these other suppliers, offer these contracts. So it is a separate company. They're allowed to do that. With regard to the contracts themselves, there are some fixed price contracts that you see. They could be 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. And most of those contracts, you will see a cancellation fee. We have seen them go from $75 up in some cases.
She said $325.
Yeah, they can go up into the hundreds. On our website, we have this information displayed. So that is something. There is a fee if you cancel early. What she also mentioned is that it was a variable price contract that had a two-year term. And this is something that we're just starting to see because most of these variable price contracts were month to month. They might have a 30-day notice to cancel, but you could cancel them a little bit earlier without a fee. We are now seeing some variable price contracts that are fixed, and you're going to be paying a cancellation fee to get it. So you have to be aware of the cancellation fee. You have to be aware that you probably have to give notice to the company before you can cancel. And you also have to be aware it's going to take 2 to 3 months, potentially, for that contract to
Okay, go ahead, Paula. For that contract to finish, I get you. You all right? All right, take your time. I'll tell you what, I'll read an email while you regroup there, okay? Let's see. This one is on smart meters. I was going to save a few minutes in the hour with Paula Carmody to talk about smart meters. She said, Michael in Severna Park wanted to know, where can I go for that list of risky suppliers, high-risk suppliers? Actually, your warnings about variable rate contracts appear on the Maryland People's Council, the website for Paula Carmody and her office. It's now posted on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page, or just Google Maryland Office of People's Council, and you'll find the website, OPC. It's opc.state.md.us. Jim, please broadcast a list of companies to watch out for again. I'm with Washington Energy for gas delivery, and we'll be taking a closer look at my bills. Yeah, I mentioned those. They were mentioned in the Sun story today. These are companies that received a letter from the Public Service Commission asking them to demonstrate why they shouldn't be fined, have their licenses revoked, or pay refunds to customers. This is according to a Jamie Smith Hopkins piece in the Sun. Again, American Power Partners, Blue Pilot Energy, Major Energy, Maryland Gas and Electric, and Exzoom Energy. Not saying they did anything wrong, just saying that they received this letter from the Public Service Commission. We have another question about energy prices. Lauren in Sharpsburg, out in Western Maryland. Thank you for calling, Lauren.
Sure. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We use propane, and we built our house 11 years ago, and we've been leasing the tank. And just this winter, of course, there was a propane shortage. Our company, Thompson Gas, charged us $5.16 a gallon. That delivery, we had about 237 gallons.
Wow. $5.16
a gallon. Wow. Because it's America.
Yeah.
And to be able to shop for a better price, right? And I called two other companies, and their prices were $4 a gallon, and the other one was $3.80. So AC&T was $3.80 when Thompson Gas was $5.16.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? I don't want to do business with you anymore. I want to buy the tank. So they faxed me the bill of sale, upon which it says, which I am required to sign, and this is my question, that I will continue to do business with them for a year from the date that I buy the tank.
Oh, boy.
That seems... Yeah. Really illegal to me.
Well, does the PSC regulate propane?
Unfortunately, and we're talking about kind of either tank gas or it is not regulated by the Public Service Commission. Complaints with regard to those types of propane gas suppliers can be made with the Office of Attorney General. They do have a mediation unit. Complaints with regard to pricing are a little bit difficult, again, because these are competitive companies, but the issue about the tanks and the contract terms come up fairly frequently. So I would suggest that Lauren contact the Office of Attorney General if she has a dispute over this issue of the tank and what she's going to have to pay to have it removed. The Commission, Public Service Commission, what they call lightly regulates underground centralized distribution system of propane. We find that in certain parts of the state, but they do not regulate. They don't do anything with regard to the price.
Okay. Thank you very much. And good luck with that, Lauren. You might want to call the Office of Attorney General, the Consumer Protection Division, to get some advice there. Now, we'll move on to the smart meters issue a little bit here, because we have a call about it and an email about it. Jonathan is the caller. We'll take his call and his question for Paula on this. Hi.
Hi, Jonathan. Jonathan Liber here from Maryland Smart Meter Awareness, actually.
Okay. What did you want to say about smart meters?
Yeah, I didn't hear the comment. Someone mentioned to me that there are 1,200 complaints in Philadelphia about increased about the size of the bills. And I know we've had similar problems in Maryland because we've been hearing about it, and we did a little FOIA of the PSC files. There were at least 80 written complaints before the cold weather set in 2013, a lot of email and telephone complaints. They didn't even give us those. And it does appear to me that the real problem here for a lot of these rate issues is really smart meters, that there's an accuracy problem.
Okay, Paul, you want to address that?
I think there are two distinct issues here. There is no doubt that usage increased in the January-February timeframe, and it is not surprising that people overall would see increases in their bills. The issue that we've been focusing on, the variable price contracts, it's very specific. We can, you can calculate this out from the usage that shows up on the bill, and that, as I say, 2 to 4 times the price, which is the increase, that is driving these large $1,000, $1,200, $1,400 bills. Now, if people's usage went up tremendously for whatever reason, that can be dictated by a number of factors inside the home. Somebody may suddenly have been using medical equipment, or there may be, people with illnesses in the home or a newborn. And so they may have kept the heat up a little higher even, so that would just contribute to it. We do not, I think, just want to go back and make a distinction that I did mention 12,000 complaints in the
Pennsylvania
area,
yeah.
And that was a few weeks ago. Those complaints have to do with variable price contracts. I believe the gentleman was referring to a request for information about smart meter complaints that was sent to the commission, and that's
okay.
A different issue.
That's a different issue. I want to talk about that for a minute, because I noticed from a report out of Annapolis that the legislature is considering allowing utility customers to opt out of the BGE smart meters without paying a fee to get out of it. Let me read this email to you, because I know that some folks just they don't want the smart meters, right? They don't want to be involved in this at all. There's still folks who are hesitant about having these. One is from Joyce. She writes in to say that BGE has been strongly pressuring me to have them install smart meters, yet people I know have had them removed, claiming that their rates have soared following installation. BGE has told me that the administration has passed a law that consumers must have smart meters installed or pay a $75 penalty up front with an additional charge of $11 per month. Some states have declared that consumers can, on an individual basis, refuse smart meters with no penalty. I would like to know why our legislators sided with BGE on this, and some idea of how valid the claims of medical risk are. And then, as I mentioned, in Annapolis, apparently they're considering allowing people to opt out without paying the fee. Why don't you get us up to date on this, Paula?
Right. There are a few things going on here. The Public Service Commission actually issued an order a few weeks ago, confirmed that individuals can opt out, and they set out a notice, set of requirements, both on the utility side and the customer side. So yes, a customer can choose not to have the meter installed if they have a particular reason for not doing that. They also did set a one-time fee that was mentioned, $75, and a monthly fee, which basically is the fee to go towards the incremental costs, because these individuals who are choosing not to have that particular meter installed are going to have their meters, for example, read by manually by meter
readers. A human
readers.
Being.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
So those are there are these separate set of costs, and they will be looked at over the year. With regard to the legislature, a fair number of bills were introduced in the legislature, in the House and the Senate. Several of them have received unfavorable reports early on in the session. There are several other bills that were filed late, and they are sitting there. And given that we've got a few days before the end of the session, they did not even move over to a committee to be heard. So the legislature has taken no action. The commission did issue the order. They do permit opt-out. There will be a fee with regard to that. With regard to the health issue.
Medical risk.
Yeah, individuals have raised two primary issues. Some have indicated that they believe that there is a health issue related to the radio frequency, which is kind of the similar thing to cell phones, baby monitors, things like that. And they've also raised data privacy issues. There, from our perspective, is no certainly evidence that there is a health problem, but I'll let other people weigh in on that. If an individual believes that there is such a problem, they can opt out, but there will be a fee to be paid.
I want to go back to the variable rates on these contracts, and a question for you, because I'm sure you've looked at the advertising, the way the companies pitch this to people, and you've looked at the contracts, you've heard from consumers. What's the advantage? I mean, is there an advantage over the long term? Can it work for you? You said you hadn't seen rates go down. But, I mean, do they keep the rates low beyond the teaser period? I mean, is there any advantage to doing it, except for getting a break for a few months, maybe?
Yeah. Bottom line, from our perspective, a number of companies offer fixed price contracts, and it's our agency recommendation at that time that at this point that if people are looking and want to consider alternative energy suppliers, to look at the variety of fixed contracts, and they can see what the price is, they can see if there's an additional fee. I just want to point out that some of them are charging fees of $5, $6, $7 a month on top of the unit price, so you have to calculate that in, and you also have to take a look at the cancellation fee. But at least you have better information as to what to expect, over the next 12 months, and you can compare it to the utility price.
Right.
I continue to say that the variable price, we've seen them shave, there's a reduction in those initial prices. And depending on circumstances in the wholesale market or the perhaps whim of the supplier, it may stay low, but what we've seen this winter is that there has been this huge swing, and we can't necessarily say it's been justified by conditions in the wholesale market. And that's why it's very important that these be investigated and looked at. We do think that there are indications that there is deceptive marketing by a number of these companies. But what we would suggest to people is, this is a matter that you can control. Gas and electricity are essential services. They're important to you. You need to figure out how to buy, purchase these within your budget. But when someone comes to your door or somebody makes a cold call, you are in control.
And it's high risk.
The variable
you're sticking
price,
with that.
I am
Bottom
sticking with high
is,
risk.
Bottom line is, for the People's Council, Paula Carmody is sticking with that for now until she sees differently. That it's a high-risk proposition you're getting into. A contract may be hard to get out of, may be hard to break the contract. The winter, I don't know, to me, this looks like the winter provides good cover for just raising rates on people. That's where it looks to me. I'm a person of suspicious nature, I guess. So anyway, Paula, thank you very much for being here today.
Oh, thank
you. So I put a link to your website on there. There's more information about these rates that you can find there. And contact the People's Council if you have additional questions, right?
Yes, yep. Please do. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Paula Carmody is head of the state's Office of People's Council. She is your representative, the Citizens of Maryland representative before the Maryland Public Service Commission. Hope you enjoyed today's show. This is Dan Rodericks for our director and engineer today, Matt Taka, leading us through this the last 2 hours. I hope you enjoyed our program. Coming back tomorrow, it's Midday Friday, an interesting look at the Jonathan Pollard spy case tomorrow with University of Baltimore law professor Kenneth Lassen, who has been a champion for the release of Jonathan Pollard in that espionage case that has caused a lot of diplomatic issues between the U.S. and Israel. That's on the Friday edition of Midday. And the second hour of our show tomorrow is Midday on Film. Christopher Llewellyn Reed and our other critic, Linda DeLibero, will both be here. We'll be taking a look at the long life and long career of Barbara Stanwyck on the show tomorrow, Midday on Film, in the second hour of tomorrow's show. So I'll see you then. Have a great afternoon.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Luke Spicknell, James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.